Amen. Amen. Hello, Living Waters family. Good to see you through the camera today. Oh, wow. What a new year this snowstorm is bringing. I love snow. I love driving in the snow. I love playing in the snow. In fact, if it was, my desires would be have church, make it a short service so we can have a snowball fight in the back, you know, before we go home. I mean, it's just, snow is so much fun. I've always loved it. Growing up outside Lynchburg, Virginia, rolling hills, the Blue Ridge Mountains, the beauty, and the hills to sled on. I mean, just so much fun growing up. It's just a blast. And so enjoy the snow, its beauty. And yet we want to be available to serve you as well if anything has come up that's dangerous in your situation at home over this next few days. Well, I am thankful for 2024. And that's not to say that everything about 2024 were great. And I took my time. It was about an hour or so. Like I pretty much always do at the end of the year, I've done this about 7 or 8 years now, where I usually it's by the Christmas tree at night, late at night. No one else is in the room. It's quiet in the house or early morning. The lights are on and I get a piece of paper. I draw a line down the middle. I have two columns and I write on one side, just significant things that happened each month. A couple ways you can do that. For me, I go through my phone calendar where I put everything, family events, church ministry events, you name it. I put everything in there. And I, on one column, write what happened, just a short abbreviated statement to remind me. And then at some point, I go to the right side of the column and I say something about, thank you, God, something I'm thankful for about that. And, you know, it's not all good. And yet I'm sitting in a quiet place before God, asking him to speak to me about these events, these activities, relationship issues that came up. Some of you might want to use your phone's photograph album, where all your photos are, and you, in that, where you keep all the significant events. It might be you journaled very detailed and you just flip through your journal. But I want to encourage you to do this because what I found for me that even in the tough places that I would write this phrase, God gave extra grace. It wasn't because it was something I never experienced before, but it was something more challenging, harder to get through. I didn't know if we'd get through it, and yet we did. And so I would put extra grace, and that's something I did differently this year because of an article my daughter-in-law sent me. There was this, not only review your year, but then look at themes and see what you can learn from that. And I did that, and I found as this only takes about a page and a half for me. And then I wrote down a handful of themes, a few themes that I saw, and this phrase, extra grace, and it was like, yes, God has shown himself faithful to me, to our family, to our children, to our church family again. And that was a reminder I needed, looking back over 2024, that, hey, yeah, there were some challenges, but God gave extra grace. He is still faithful. And there was even some tough moments in that hour where my emotions would get into this memory and I would get a little upset about it again. I'm going, hold it. I thought I asked forgiveness. I thought I forgave this situation. You know, what's going on here, Lord? And the Lord wanted me to forgive again, go through another deeper layer of forgiveness. And so you'll find God's going to work through this process, but it's not a good practice just to go, you know, up yours 2024. That was a tough year. Let's let the Lord do some work in your heart, to bring closure and then prepare your heart for 2025. today, as we celebrate, as some of us are still in the newness of the new year, I know I am always the first month or so of each year, just all ears to God. What new things are you speaking? And so today's title of the message, as I want to prepare you not just to release and bless 2024, but be ready for 2025, is have expectancy of newness of life. Because that is the way of the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works with newness of life. I found as a quick review in Scripture that there are a number of ways that this word new shows up over and over and again in how God works. Even in our very salvation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're called a new creation. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this is Creator God who in 6 days created everything that we see, everything in the universe, and yet he keeps creating by creating a new heart in us at salvation, where our hard, callous, a hard heart was replaced with a heart of flesh, a new heart, where the phrase in the Scripture is born again, brand spanking new person. Why? Because your spirit was dead. Now your spirit is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's alive. You are a new creation in Christ. And what's so wonderful is we can live each day, not just the moment of our conversion of salvation, but we can live each day as a new creation where he's done this beautiful work on the inside of us, transformed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So we're a new creation. He talks about in Scripture many times in the book and songs that there is a new song for us. Psalm 40, 1 through 3, refers to a bad time in David's life, the psalmist David's life. So you might go on, Stephen, you don't know how bad my 2024 was. Well, God knows. And listen to these first few verses of Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's right. Don't just rush off. Wait patiently. Let the Lord speak to you. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. So you might be saying, yeah, that's what my 2024 is like. I was in a horrible pit. I was in miry clay. And so, all right then, well, if that's the case, God is there. He knows that. It's not something to ignore or deny. It was a hard year. But listen to verse 3. God has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Yeah, some people even have seen your 2024. Boy, it was a rough year. And they're going, poor you, poor, wow, that family, boy, that they're really going through. Listen, they're going to see that God has put a new song in your heart, in your mouth. You're going to be whistling again. You're going to be humming those old songs that come back to you. God's going to give you a new song as well. That's what he does. He gives us a new song. Be expectant about this in early 2025. Be all ears. Even the whole work of Christ, where he brings a covenant that doesn't abolish the old covenant, but fulfills the old covenant, is called a new covenant. Jesus is around with his disciples having the Last Supper, and he throws this term on them they've never heard before. And this is what we call communion today, but it was really a Passover meal, remembering God's faithfulness, delivering them out of Egypt and making covenant with them by the blood of the Lamb and over the doorposts there in Egypt. And so here's this celebration of the old covenant. And he's saying, likewise, this is Luke 22, verse 20 says, Likewise, Jesus speaking, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Oh, I love that. He's letting them know, hey, there's a new covenant. It doesn't abolish the old, but it fulfills it. It's a new covenant. He uses this word new often in scripture. Jesus even says in John 13, 34 through 35, there's a new command. Excuse me. John 13, verse 34 says, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love for one another, if you love one another." So he's saying, okay, there's a new command. Now he's not saying, hey, the old commands in the Hebrew scriptures are useless. No, the Ten Commandments are still good. The law and the prophets, it still teaches and trains us. But there's a new command, a deeper one, where you're to love as I have loved you. And this is so powerful to the world that people will see it. They'll notice it and they go, wow, Jesus, you really are true disciples of Jesus because you truly love as he loved. And it's a testimony to the world. It convinces people our love for one another. Living Waters family, let's just stop right there. Say, Lord, help us love one another as you love us, as help me love in my own immediate family as you love me, that it'll be so different that people will notice. Lord, help me love one another, those in my church family at Living Waters. Help me serve them and love them, demonstrate love in such a way that people notice and say, wow, there's something different about that church family. Jesus might really be real. I've never seen anything like it. Lord, do that in us in 2025. There's even this phrase, new wine and new wineskins. New wine is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so there's old wine, which is good. And then there's new wine, which is good too. And there's different wineskins, processes and methods and values and ways that we minister that new wine. Every generation brings a new way to, with a new work of the Holy Spirit. Mark 2, 22 says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." And it says in another spot that therefore both are preserved. The wine is preserved, the skins, the old wine. God's not saying you have nothing to do with the old wine and the old wineskins. No, this is a new way in order for me to bring a new stream of the Holy Spirit, and I can do both. And he's into the word new. And I want you to be built up in hope and encouragement that 2025, there can be new hope, new encouragement for you. The scriptures even call in the end times that we'll have a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. Our God is awesome. He brings and makes all things new. This is the way he does it. And right now in January is a great time. But you know, hey, this is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait until January 1st to seek God in a new way, to hear from new things that he's going to. No, it's something he does any day that we humble ourselves before him. We cry out to him. He comes. He sees that humbleness. He sees that genuine heart of repentance or turning away from something that might be okay, but it's not God's best. And you turn, I want God's best. I want you, Jesus. And he sees that hunger. He sees that humility and he answers us. There are different ways that we are preparing you for a new year and new things at Living Waters. One is having Ed Berry Jr. speak next Sunday. He is one of the most encouraging, edifying preachers I know in person. And that just oozes out of him. He can't help but build you up. And so next Sunday morning at 10:30, again, a great time to bring a friend or a guest. You're going to just be built up and encouraged for 2025. That night at 6 o'clock, it's going to be some great food, some prizes, a few games, and then Ed Jr. is going to speak to men. So this would be men, young men from middle school, high school, college age, all the way through. You're going to find his story, testimony, and the way he shines the light of Christ. You're going to be encouraged and built up to say, you know, Lord, you can use me too. And so this next Sunday is a designed appointment. I didn't just ask Ed Berry to come any old time. No, I said, I want you to come near the beginning of the year, and we worked out the schedule. Also, I'm going to be bringing some teachings, and I'll mention it again a little later this morning, about direction, vision, some vision statements the church leadership has written to give us some focus and guidance as a church family. And so that'll come later in the month of January. So God is preparing us, and I want you to say, yes, Lord, my ears are open, speak to me. Refresh me, renew me. I know that you want to do a new thing in my heart, my family, my church family. So let's spend some time in the text of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in a minute, verse 22 through 24. And in this passage, we have Paul in chapter 4 warning about slipping back into some old ways, the ways that ungodly, and in the term he would use, just Gentiles, those who did not have a Jewish religious background, just slipping back into old ways of thinking and so forth. And he's giving this warning. And then he gets into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Let's look at that together. He says, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Let me stop there for a second. So he's instructing us to do something. We put off things of a former conduct, old ways of life, thinking, ways of life. And he uses this phrase, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. See, now when you're born again, you are a new person. You're a new creation. The Holy Spirit comes into your heart. You're transformed in a new creation. And yet that kicks out an old man. Yet the sin called the sinful nature, and that sinful nature continues to war against the members, our eyes, our tongue to say something we shouldn't, to look at something, our hands to touch something, our feet to walk where we shouldn't walk. And it wants to try to corrupt us into deceitful, selfish lust, walking us, our eyes, our hands, going and doing. And that is the battle within. But we see we have instructions on what to do. What to do. We put those off. We have this instruction. Go in the next verse, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's so much that's got to happen right here between these 2 years, behind these two eyes. There is your mind is a key to putting off old things and putting on new. That's why the Word of God, you being in the Word of God, is so powerful, is so necessary as a believer. You cannot put off all things and put on, you cannot renew your mind without the Word of God. And so you've got to be in the Word in 2025, and we're going to help you with that. In fact, we're going to get into some New Testament book studies together, some character studies later in the year, where we're just going to go through a book, a chapter by chapter, just digging in deeper in it. I'm looking forward to this. Why? Because these messages here on Sunday morning are not just to, you know, encourage you for this hour and a half here together. It is to equip you So then that day, you're taking the word of God and you're applying it in your life, that you're not just hearers, but you're doers. You're not just hearers only, but you're doers of the word. And so we're going to be digging deeper in the word to help you during the week dig more in studying and meditating on God's word for obedience in your life. So there's a renewing in your mind. This word renew is powerful. And I was reminded of this just a couple of weeks ago. Susan Whitehead was having a River Kids Children's Ministers volunteer training session. And she said the Lord, spoke to her and downloaded how to run this meeting. And I wish I had the notes with me. She had an outline for everybody, and it was called The Revamp of River Kids Children's Ministry. But she had every kind of word in there, you know, restart, renew, refresh. I don't have the list in front of me, but it was all this restarting, redoing, and God just refreshing all areas of the children's ministry. I was so encouraged by this, and this is the spirit that I really want to encourage you with. Renew your mind. Be prepared for 2025. God has something new to speak to you and show you in this time of your life. And we can do this because the resurrection power of God is available for us all time. That's victory over sin, victory over guilt. The resurrection power of God says there's victory over condemnation, victory over bondages that you can't seem to break. Be renewed, be refreshed in your mind. Yes, God can, and He is, and He will deliver you and set you free. In Jesus' name, don't give up. God is still working in that area. Let's go to the next verse here. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, there is a true righteousness and holiness. It's not you just trying your best and an effort and trying to be a good person. It is the transforming work that we're cleansed by the blood of Christ, and His word is powerful to transform our minds and then our actions and our obedience unto Christ. It is a work that comes from Christ. This righteousness and holiness, we receive it as a gift by faith. That when we're saved, we get this new clothing of righteousness, robes of righteousness from head to toe, that enables us then to walk a new life of sanctification, changing in the ways we think and the way we do and act. So let me ask you a question. Did you get some new clothes for Christmas? Did you maybe get a gift card and you're thinking, yes, I can't wait to use this gift card to get some new clothes. I'm wearing some new shoes I bought with the gift card today. And it's kind of fun to put on that new article that early in January of the new wardrobe, the new outfit. It's kind of fun. You're kind of hoping, is somebody going to notice? Well, God wants us, in order to put on that new outfit that you're excited about, that you picked out just for now, just for this season, for 2025, you got to take off the old. I'm wearing a flannel shirt right now. I've had this shirt a long time. Flannel's classic, you know, it never goes out of style really, right? And, it's soft, it's comfortable, but I've got a new shirt. I've had it in the closet actually for several weeks. And it's so new, I haven't even taken, the tag off of the, off the shirt. I thought, well, let me just keep it on for this message here. And it's just a brand new, shirt here. And so I've got to take off the new, the old before I put on the new. And the old isn't all bad. I mean, flannel shirts are comfortable, aren't they? And there's good things about it. It's being warm and so forth, but God is doing more. He's into giving us a new song. He's into giving us new direction. And so we have to put off something, the old, to put on the new. So here we go. It's an action that we have to do ourselves. It's this action of putting off something, laying it aside is one translation, and then putting on, clothing ourselves. So, that's what's happening right now. I'm encouraging you to do that right here. What are you thankful for about 2024? What things in the past of that year, you don't even want to go there, and yet God is saying, I want to turn that discouragement to hope. I want you to put off that hurt and receive some healing from me. I want you to put that criticism and cynicism, that negative thoughts about that relationship, that instance that happened in 2024. I want you to take that off, and I want you to put on the an attitude of gratitude and hope in that situation. See, gratitude defeats negativism. When you see that God was at work, God brought a provision, God was there with you, it takes out this discouragement and puts in hope, and it puts in a heart of gratitude, and it crushes negative thinking and criticism. I know for me, as I may have mentioned earlier, I was realizing, I need to do some more forgiveness. I've thought I did my best in asking forgiveness and forgiving others in a situation, but I was getting emotionally stirred in that. So I said, God, I just want to release them, forgive them as you forgave me and see them. And so there was another level of forgiveness. So I was able to put that unforgiveness off and put on more forgiveness. How's it look, by the way? How's it looking, huh? How's it looking? Okay, all right. You put on your new clothes, you want somebody to notice and say, hey, I like that new shirt. Hey, all right. Let's turn to an illustration here. My grandchildren are precious. And I'm seeing their develop in the different areas of their life and try new things. And there's a lot of newness in childhood. And I may have already mentioned this story a few months ago. And I'm sorry. I'm a papa who thinks of these things over and over again. And it means a lot to me. We were blessed just to have a fall family vacation at the beach together. And it's so much fun. The beach and the sand and the waves, it's just so much fun. Even a little bit better than snow. I mean, that's how much fun we enjoyed the beach. I enjoy it. And our 1.5-year-old Rowan, his parents are Paul and Haley. They live in Philadelphia. They actually were with her side of the family a few months before at a different beach. And all week long, Rowan would not go walk out on the sand. He would not touch the sand. He wouldn't play in the sand. Here's a couple of pictures of them and with us, sitting on Paul's lap, not touching the sand. The next picture you see them, he seems to be having a good time, but he's not touching the sand. He's in Paul's arms there. And so how the story went, we just thought for sure it would just take a day or two for him seeing his little cousins playing in the sand and building, little sand castles and destroying them. And they dug a hole and put me in it and covered me with sand, and that he would come over and he would join in. But he was so stubborn in his ways. He was not going to touch that sand. He felt like it was dirty. It was yucky. And so, sure enough, he was either in Paul or Haley's arms, or he was on the towel, that rectangular towel, and that's just the two places he would be. And this was happening all week long. This was going, it looked like that's the way it was just going to be. You would hold him in your arms, and you would get down toward the sand, and then his feet were, and he would start lifting up his feet, and it was like, no, 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 and he would not want to touch. He could get in the water. He loved the water, no problem, but not the sand. So we even had to bring a little kiddie pool, plastic kiddie pool, down there and filled it up with some water, put it there in front of his towel so he could, you know, be on the towel, be in the pool and so forth. And then on the second to the last day of our week together, this 1.5-year-old boy, who's just full of energy. I didn't know how he could do it because he's an active boy. He just loves life. He loves, you know, going here, going there, climbing this, just a very active little boy. He was watching his father and his uncles and me and his aunts. We were playing a football game, and we had to do it down the beach a little ways. It wasn't right in front of them. It was down here. And he was seeing his father out there running around and throwing and two-hand touch and falling down. And he's seeing this happen. And he makes in his little language there some motions and some comments there to his mom. And some to the effect like, Dada, you know, I want to go to Dada. He's pointing way down here. And she goes, well, why don't you ask Eliana to help you? Why don't you go ahead? And Eliana was there playing with him in this kiddie pool. Eliana is a 4-year-old, his little cousin, precious, cute little 4-year-old. And she stands up, puts out her hand. He grabs it and they start walking. And for the first time in these now the second week of a beach trip, he steps off of that towel and he starts walking in the sand. And he walks all the way out there, and it was good. It wasn't so bad after all. Whatever he had in his mind of how dirty that sand is, and how uncomfortable it would be and yucky it would be, it was done. It was over. He put that old way of thinking that was keeping him locked into limited in a certain place, and at a certain time he was missing out on the fun, and he was like, I want to be with Dada. But Dada's way out there. He's not coming over here. He's way out there. I want to get close to Dada. I don't want to miss out on what Dada's doing. And sure enough, he walked out there, went to his dad, Paul, and for the rest of that day, and then only one more day, he was walking around the sand, no problem. Standing in the sand there in the background behind his two cousins. He didn't jump in that pile of sand head first like the others did, but he was in there no problem. So I ask you, what is holding you back? What way of thinking is limiting you from something in 2024, something beyond that, that's keeping you from saying, God, I want to do a new thing. I want to have the courage and bravery to go farther with you. What is it that's holding you back? What's in your thinking? What's in your conception that there's something that's out there that could be go wrong or could be dangerous? Let me tell you, put it off. It's not all bad. It was good. God blessed you in the past, but there's new blessings in going in the new direction with Christ, his new song, his new command, his new direction. Put it off and put it on the new. You can do this. I'm going to tell you, you can do this. Now, I want to go into a list that comes out of the next few verses in Ephesians 4. I'm not going to actually read this passage, but in the next verse, verse 25, and it goes on down to the end of the chapter, verse 32, there is this pretty long list of things to put away. This is how verse 25 reads. It says, therefore, putting away, and the first one is lying. And then it has this list. It goes in and it says, put away anger and wrath, stealing, have no corrupt words, grieving the Holy Spirit, bitterness, clamor. I'm not even sure what clamor is. Maybe just drama, you know, just stirring things up. Gossiping blowing things out of proportion. Trust God. Be at peace. Hey, don't clamor. Evil speaking. Malice. And so here's a list that these Ephesians, who he was encouraging and instructing, listen, you're a new, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the newness of Christ Jesus and put away these things. And he has this list that they were dealing with. And you know, this list, maybe one or two really fits you and you're like, wow, yeah, that's good. Or maybe none of them fit you, but God is still saying there's something I want you to be aware of. Put it away and put on. So in that paragraph, starting at verse 25, going to 32, there's some things he says, put on. He says, put on speaking the truth. Put on labor and serving, doing some honest labor. Put on giving, being serving and giving others. Edify others. Impart grace to others. Be sealed for redemption. This is what the Holy Spirit is in you. He's redeeming your life, turning things around. Another R-E, redeeming. He's turning things around for you. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another. Forgiving one another. What a powerful word, tender-hearted. So right there, Lord Jesus, if a face of a person comes to us, we're not tender-hearted toward them. Lord God, forgive us. Help us put that off and put on tender-heartedness and forgiveness. There's a source of this newness, and it's available to us every day. It is the resurrection power of God releasing the abundant grace of God. We don't have excuse, but we have newness of life. Romans 6, if you want to study this process of how we put on and take off and put on and be transformed, read Romans chapter 6. I'm going to just read one verse this morning. It says, therefore, Romans 6 verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's saying this is not something that you can produce on your own. What it is by faith, you know that Christ has been buried. He died. Well, you were buried with him. He knows that that's what baptism represents. You go down in the water, you were baptized, you were buried with him, and then you come out of the water in baptism, right? It's a symbolism of being raised with Christ. You didn't do it. It was his work. You're just joined with him. You're inseparable. And because you're joined with him, you receive his resurrection power. And because he's been resurrected, you are too. And you receive that gift of newness of life. Being renewed in the mind, being renewed in your actions, your lifestyle in a new year of 2025. You might be saying, well, Stephen, I mean, this sounds good. I've never experienced anything like this. I know about Christ. I know about the stories, but I really don't have a relationship with him. Knowledge in the head is a good place to start, but in the end, it's a work where God does something in your heart. And so this may be your day right now to repent and turn from your sins, the sins committed against you, your hurt, and turn toward Jesus Christ. Believe on him that he raised Jesus from the dead. Believe and confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you will begin this new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can do that today. You can do that right now in praying in your heart. You can contact a friend. They'll pray with you to help you. But don't delay. If you say, this is nice knowledge, but I need to experience this. Well, you need to start with the relationship with Jesus Christ and be a new creation. God is drawing you right now. Thank you, Lord. You may remember, if you were here a few years ago, that I talked about scriptures that build us up, that identify who we are. And we even made a handout and left it out here on the information counter for a number of weeks. It's called My Identity in Christ. This is who I am. And I have these list of scriptures on my computer. I'll get these to you online, but you might still have this. It's really an easy list to find online. You just pretty much Google scriptures that say who I am in Christ. You're going to get a long list. The Bible is full of encouragement, giving you clarity who you are. And I want to say here in the beginning of the year, refresh yourself with these scriptures or get them for the first time. And from them, pick out a few that really stick out that say, I need that. This is what I need. This is who I want to be. This is the work of Christ in me. I want to help you with this in developing personal vision statements, mission statements that give you direction from the Word of God. It's, again, looking into the Word, let the Word of God transform us, renewing our minds so we think like God wants us to think. And so this is something that we'll get into later this month in a couple weeks, because I also, from the leadership of the church, want to share with you some identity statements, mission statements, and vision statements that we've been working on last year, and we want to share these with you to help give us focus and direction and transformation by the Word of God. For example, you know that we switched our Sunday morning identity statement is the what I like to call it to authentic in worship and intentional in love. And we so much enjoyed and God used the one we used for about 8 years or so, abandoned to God and compassionate toward people. And there's some similarities with that one and this one, where we're authentic in worship. There's the vertical piece of the cross. And then we're also intentional love in the horizontal piece of the cross. But there are other statements they've written that go into more detail. And I'm going to share one for you just to kind of whet your appetite. So again, in a couple weeks, as we get into these messages, you'll know where we're headed. But we call it a mission statement, and it says this. We are loved by God, so we live in authentic love and truth by intentionally connecting people to Jesus. I can't wait to break that down for you in God's Word and let it be something that builds you up and helps give us direction as a church family here in a couple weeks. So God wants to speak. He wants to speak about 2024. He wants to do some healing and forgiveness and in renewing of your mind from 2024. He wants to prepare you and give you a new identity in Christ and His Word. He wants to give you direction from His Word. This is a great spiritual time that you can take advantage. Now listen, you're going to be snowed in for the rest of the day, maybe tomorrow, maybe more than a couple of days. You've got time to do that exercise and get a piece of paper, like I showed you, if you like that, put a line down the middle. You have time to open up your journal, if you journal, and let God help process you to get a thankful attitude to 2024. You have time to look at scriptures to say, God, who am I? Write those scriptures down. Do some Google searches. Write them down for 2025. We're going to, again, help you here in a couple weeks with that as well. But the Lord is speaking. He's speaking by His Spirit. He's speaking by His Word. And I know that we didn't have a worship team up here this morning, but I do have a song I want to close with. I'm going to ask you to actually really focus into the words of this song. It's one of those songs that kept coming back to me. So it's an old song to me that's blessed me in the past. God has been bringing it back to me repeatedly. So it's refreshed. It's like a new song. And so I'm sharing, in a sense, a new song that God was putting in my mind and heart. And it helps me keep my spirit open, my ears open to God for 2025. So let's go now, and the lyrics should be on your screen, and let's play this song. It's entitled Speak by Bethany Worship Music.
hear you louder than the noise. I want to feel you closer than the air I breathe. Deep within my soul burning. Speak to me, let my heart be awakened by the whispering of love. Pull me close to your heart, let the silence now be filled with your voice.
Found in surrender.
That song, love it. Let me close in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, speak to us. Speak to us. We surrender ourselves to you, and we expect that you're going to speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that one of the things you've been speaking for centuries is how much you love us, that you've proved your love for us. So, Lord, we receive your love. We're so thankful for it. You're so faithful in your eternal loving kindness to us. Speak to us, Lord, about 2025. Lord, give us that hope and encouragement that our view into 2025 is with excitement, our anticipation, our expectation of what you're doing is higher, maybe higher than ever in our whole life. That's what you like to do, Lord. You like to renew our minds. You like to do new things in our lives. And so, Lord, we say yes to that. Do new things in our lives. And Lord, we trust you with this storm coming through. Help us enjoy this beautiful snowy weather. And yet, Lord, we pray for protection for every family, every home, every person listening to my voice, those in our church family and our friends and neighbors. Lord, protect us and provide for us during this storm and process. Lord, we trust you in it. Have your peace. Amen. You have a great week. I've missed hugging you guys this morning, but my heart is full of love for you. Have a great week and a great new year in 2025.